I did right here.
Good evening. Welcome to the regular monthly meeting of the City of Atlanta Board of Ethics. The board is an independent, citizen-appointed board that works to ensure honesty, integrity, accountability, and trust in city government. The board administers and enforces the Code of Ethics by interpreting the city's ethical standards, administering the financial disclosure program, investigating ethics complaints, and determining if ethics violations have occurred. The board meets every third Thursday of the month at 6 o'clock p.m. in City Council chambers. Ethics questions or complaints may be sent to ethicsofficer@atlantaga.gov, or you may call the Ethics Office at 404-330-6286. The board is composed of seven city residents appointed to serve a three-year term of office. All board members are community volunteers who receive no pay for their service. They are Brent Adams, appointed by the Metro Atlanta Chamber of Commerce, who is the vice chair and is seated to my left. Delon Brown, appointed by the League of Women Voters of Atlanta Fulton County. Carol Snipe Crawford, appointed by the Atlanta Planning Advisory Board, who is seated to my far right. Rhea Greathouse, appointed by the Gate City Bar Association. Jessica Stern, who is seated to my right, and Kai Williamson, appointed by the Atlanta Business League. And I'm sorry, I forgot to say that Ms. Stern is appointed by the Atlanta Bar Association. My name is Kate Walsh, and I have been appointed by the six major universities. Assisting the board is City Ethics Officer Nina R. Hickson, who is seated on the far right. Quorum is present tonight, so we will begin with the first order of business, and that is review and adoption of the minutes of the October 15, 2015 meeting. If you would review those, board members, they are behind tab one in your binder.
Thank you.
Is there a motion to adopt the minutes of the October 15 meeting?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor of adopting the minutes of the October 15, 2015 meeting? Please say aye.
Aye.
Ms. Stern, okay. Thank you, Ms. Stern. I think we will, the minutes are therefore adopted with one abstention. Thank you. Next on the agenda, we have two enforcement actions. The first is CO 14-016 in the matter of Marina Henderson. And Mr. Santiago, you will be informing us about that.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Evening, board members. Carlos Santiago with the Ethics Office. On November 5th, 2015, our office met with Marina Henderson and a representative for her pretrial conference. At the conference, we were able to reach a settlement agreement with Ms. Henderson resolving her case. A copy of the agreement is located in your board packet behind one of the tabs in your board packet. I believe it's tab 2.
It is tab 2. Thank you.
Per the agreement, Ms. Henderson agrees to the following. Ms. Henderson acknowledges that she violated the city's ethical standards by referring individuals, distributing and collecting payment for fraudulent documents on behalf of a private business and for the private advantage of city employees, her family members, and others, and by knowingly copying fraudulent documents using a city copier for the private advantage of temporary city employees who gained permanent employment with the city. In proposing a penalty, the Ethics Office considered both mitigating and aggravating circumstances. As mitigating circumstances affecting the penalty, Ms. Henderson was terminated by the City of Atlanta and she is currently unemployed. That said, she agrees to pay the City of Atlanta a civil penalty of $200 in 10 monthly installments of $20 from personal funds beginning on January 15, 2016. The assessed fine must be paid in full by October 15, 2016. Ms. Henderson also agreed to appear at this meeting of the Board of Ethics in compliance with the subpoena to appear issued by the Board of Ethics on October 15, 2015. Ms. Henderson signed the agreement on November 9, 2015, and Ms. Henderson is present at this meeting in compliance with the subpoena to appear. Therefore, we respectfully ask that the board approve the settlement agreement between the ethics officer and Ms. Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Santiago. Questions from the board?
Mr. Santiago, was there any discussion or thought at all about restitution in this situation beyond the civil penalty? The way I see it is, I'm certainly glad that Ms. Henderson's here and that there's a desire to reach an agreement, and we all would want to work with that as well. But in my eyes, you know, not only was city time and resources used while these GED certificates were being falsified and created, but I believe there was also money that was earned for each one that she helped with. I could be wrong on that, so please correct me if I am. But also my larger concern is that people potentially obtained employment with the City of Atlanta without the proper qualifications because these documents were falsified. You know, these are people that work for our city that we want to be competent and qualified and we want to be representing our city well. And, you know, the repercussions of this are probably greater than we really can even quantify. And I'm wondering why there isn't more than just a $200 fine.
Well, in this case, it was actually Ms. Henderson and another individual who took part in the activities that led to these to the complaints in this case. The other individual, Ms. Lockett, who we entered into a settlement agreement with previously, It was actually found that she was the one who created all of the documents and admitted to receiving payment. However, in this case, we were not able to establish that Ms. Henderson actually collected any payment for the documents. And she, in this case, it seemed more that along the lines of that she went along with it as opposed to was maybe the mastermind behind the scheme to defraud the city. So in finding her, since we did find her accomplice, Ms. Lockett, what we were able to, she was admitted to actually creating the documents, but in this case we were not able to establish that Ms. Henderson did so. She does admit that she delivered the documents, and it did, and she did so knowingly after discovering what she was doing. However, the fact that we could not establish that she actually took any money would make it difficult to establish an amount for restitution. And we believe that it's basically pretty consistent with our past agreements in situations like this where they're the less culpable party, and also on the fact that she was terminated from the city that and does not currently have employment, that the $200 would be an agreeable fine in this case. She also did cooperate with us throughout the course of the investigation. And so we took into account those facts. I mean, in no way disagree with the fact that it definitely had an effect, and there were people who were able to gain employment. But we do believe that in the end, Ms. Pamela Lockett was the more culpable party in this case. So that's how we came to kind of an agreement, as far as we weren't able to establish an amount necessarily, but we felt that this fine was appropriate to address her culpability in this case.
Can I just ask a follow-up really quickly? Sorry.
Do you recall offhand what the penalty was for Ms. Lockett's case, just for reference?
It was $1,500 in Ms. Lockett's case, and in that case she admitted to actually creating all the documents.
And in Ms. Henderson's case, please refresh my memory, I read this earlier, was the time used to copy the documents and actually not create them, but to kind of make copies or distribute them, or was it the delivery of them specifically?
In the settlement, we actually did not, we actually did drop the count on use of time. Just because we did not have as part of the agreement it would have been much more difficult to establish that fact of when exactly the documents were created. However, at this point we only know that she admitted to copying them at some point, and according to the evidence that we had, she delivered them during lunch breaks.
Thank you.
That's where we came up with that.
Thank you.
Santiago, thank you for that clarification. Would you assist me just by helping me be clear about the language that's in the key findings? Because I think that's what's maybe confusing, where it says she knowingly copied the documents and affixed her signature to them, which enabled temporary employees to get permanent employment. So for what purpose was her signature affixed? Was it in any kind of authorizing capacity, or just to show that she was the one who did the clerical work of copying the documents for the file?
It was the latter. She did not have the actual authority to authorize the documents. She affixed her signature to show that she had viewed the documents.
I don't know about anyone else, but it may be helpful in the key findings, now that we have that understanding, to look at the language to see if we might amend that part, just to clarify that point. It's just taking a literal reading. It says, and affixed her signature to them, which enabled temporary employees to gain permanent employment with the city in violation of the code. Thank you.
Okay.
Semantic piece here.
I'm interested in hearing the thoughts of the board to see if there's anything else that we may think is appropriate in this situation. I mean, I'm sensitive to the fact of not being able to pay necessarily a monetary fine, and you know, I don't know how far a $200 fine is really going to go necessarily in recouping what the city may have lost. And as you said, it's hard to quantify. But in my eyes, I see this as something that harms our community. I mean, because of the fact that there's employees that are working in positions that require certain qualifications that they don't have, and that affects all of us and how we can get business done competently in our city. And I just wonder if something like community service or something along those lines is possible, or something that would be reasonable in this situation. Just, you know, if she's not working, something that shows that there's a desire to give back to the community in a way that I see it as taking from the community.
I'm not exactly sure whether in the code there is anything about community service.
There, it's silent, and so it doesn't preclude it and it doesn't direct it. I think that there is a maximum amount, which we've already discussed, that can be assessed based on the count, but the code itself doesn't prohibit it or prohibit any kind of creativity in terms of some kind of sanction. The only thing I would warn you about is to the extent that we would impose any kind of community service, there would be an imposition on the office to kind of supervise or make sure that it's done. So whatever you all would come up with, just kind of keep that in mind. The other point I wanted to make was, it was my understanding, because the initial investigation, although we got the complaint, the investigation was actually carried out by the compliance unit of the city attorney's office, and so some of this information has already been referred to some law enforcement entities to determine whether there were criminal actions or not. So,
I guess to further address Ms. Stern's concern, were the employees that gained employment by this act terminated? Were they identified and terminated?
That's in the report from the compliance unit. Yeah, they were. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So at this point, none of those employees are currently city employees.
No, they're in the investigative report. Those employees were terminated once they discovered.
Thank you.
Well, since I brought it up, I mean, I guess at this point, I'd like to propose, you know, accepting the agreement with the additional requirement of some sort of community service within the city of Atlanta. You know, I understand it would impose an additional supervisory component, but at the same time, it's not as if she's going to be paying the $200 one time. I see here that there's installments that have to be supervised somewhat or collected by the office, and so just a thought of adding in the requirement that there's a proof of community service provided when she provides the installment payments, maybe, I don't know, 50 hours or something. You know, that would be my proposal, unless someone has any other thoughts.
Ms. Stern, would it be possible just to kind of articulate some parameters or in terms of the type of service or what it is that you'd like to see? Because I don't know that we're going to be able to do anything specifically, but if you can kind of give us some guidelines in terms of what would be appropriate so that can be included in the motion and we can proceed.
I'm thinking of a City of Atlanta based nonprofit organization or agency that provides services to folks within the City of Atlanta. I mean, I don't necessarily care about any more parameters than that besides just giving back to the community of the City of Atlanta who's affected by, you know, the employees that, you know, work within the City of Atlanta government.
Is it meant more along the lines of, are there a minimum number of hours?
Oh, 50 hours within a year.
We have a 10-month period that we were talking about for repaying at $20 a month. So if you're talking about 50 hours over that time period, that's 5 hours a month, which is not, unreasonable, I think. I was wondering whether there, and this may be a bad idea for more than one reason, but I was wondering whether there might be something she could usefully do for the board or for the ethics office, in that it might then have an educational component as well.
Offhand, I can't think of anything, but I'm not gonna say there isn't. What we could do is, in terms of the motion that's on the floor, if we indicate 10 hours community service with direction to the office to see if there are services that can be provided, appropriate services that can be provided through our office, then we'd be happy to follow through and see if we can't.
Thank you, Ms. Hicks.
Figure out something.
So that makes sense to me, perhaps, as something where we, in addition to the fine, we would add on 50 hours of community service for the City of Atlanta and or one of its affiliated nonprofit organizations to be determined by this conversation between Ms. Henderson and the ethics officer and to be approved by the ethics officer with a total of 50 hours over that 10-month period. Does that seem like it's approaching what you were willing to see, Ms. Stern?
Yes, and if there is a referral to a law enforcement agency, I mean, those same community service hours, I'm sure, could be utilized in whatever the resolution of that potential situation can be as well. But I think it's appropriate in our circumstances to ask for that.
I'd like to ask Ms. Stern if she would consider amending the number of hours downward. I agree in principle with the things that you have stipulated, but we've heard from the investigative officer and from the ethics officer self that this person has been an accessory or an assistant, and we have already acted with purely a monetary fine against the primary antagonist and the person who was responsible for the whole fraudulent scheme. And so, in my sense, I'm wondering if we may serve the same purpose and send the same message, but with a reduced number of hours, because we're extending a community service piece across the year for someone for whom we're only instituting a monetary fine of $200.
Do you have a proposed amount instead?
Half of that. Maximum of 25.
Darn.
I mean, I think 50 is reasonable, but obviously depends on whether what we're going to vote on or not. I mean, I personally think that 5 hours a month potentially isn't a whole lot, but I would like to leave it as is, and if it gets voted down with a different amendment or a different motion. That's
and
fine.
I don't know that we actually have a formal motion pending. So if you would like to make that motion, then we can consider it.
I move that we adopt the negotiated agreement with an addition to require 50 hours of community service over the course of 10 months within the City of Atlanta agency or an affiliated nonprofit.
All right. Is there a second? Motion and a second. All in favor of adopting the report and the sanction as proposed with the addition of 50 hours of community service for the City of Atlanta, one of its agencies, and or an affiliated organization as determined by discussion between Ms. Henderson and the ethics officer and is supervised by the ethics officer.
Aye.
Aye.
Yeah. Are you going to ask for
all opposed?
Nay.
I wasn't sure whether I needed to ask for that if I just would have. But the motion carries, 3 in favor, 1 against.
Okay, so that was an adoption on condition that she that Ms. Henderson accept that agreement as well, right? She's going to have
yes,
to be a signatory.
Yes, and she has already signed the agreement that was in front of us, yes.
Okay. So we will, at this point, we'll need to amend the agreement, correct?
What the board members have asked is if we can hear from Ms. Henderson as relates to that portion of the, because the settlement agreement was just the monetary amount. The board is saying they will only accept a settlement based on that in addition to the hours. So if there's not an agreement as to that, then I would assume we'd have to come back and go the probable cause route.
I don't necessarily want to put her on the spot. I mean, I don't know if she needs, does she need to answer us right this moment? I mean, if she would like to address the board, but I don't think we need to require that she addresses the board. But, you know, if you...
Well, perhaps what can be done is we can ask the ethics office to have a conversation with Ms. Henderson subsequent to this and determine if she, because she has already signed the recommended agreement, and it was pending board approval. And since the board is now proposing something different, I'd like to ask that we allow the staff to go back and have that conversation with Ms. Henderson and make a determination. And if she refuses, then we would take the next step of coming back at a subsequent meeting for a probable cause hearing. But if she does agree, then the matter would be settled.
Okay. So we'll go ahead and talk to Ms. Henderson.
Did I need to make that in the form of a... Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. The second enforcement action, CO-14-010, in the matter of Cleta Winslow.
Board members, I did indicate to you by email earlier that I am in negotiations with Councilmember Winslow's attorney. We were not able to conclude prior to today's meeting. We will probably have a recommendation for the January meeting. If we don't, then we'll be at the probable cause state of this particular matter.
Thank you. And then I guess on to financial disclosure, status of subpoenas to appear.
Can we go on to, because they're both speaking with Ms. Henderson, if we can go on to the formal advisory opinion.
Certainly.
2015-2, post city private and public employment. Board members, I've presented a draft to you of the proposed formal advisory opinion and would respectfully request a motion adopting this opinion and directing that it be published.
Ms. Hickson, can you just possibly highlight the changes?
Certainly. This opinion reflects the discussion that occurred last month and the action taken by the board, in which the board determined that the prior advisory opinion on this issue of post-city employment was broader than that which can be supported by the language of the code itself. And so the board directed that the new advisory opinion clarify that the post-employment activities, or at least the prohibition, be limited to the very specific instances outlined in the code. Secondly, the board also took the position that the issue of public employment subsequent to city employment had not been directly addressed by either the code or the opinion, and so the board directed that we direct a letter to the city council recommending an amendment to the code which would deal with the issue of public employment, with the recommendation that the presumption be that it's appropriate but that it be evaluated on a case-by-case basis. During the last meeting, the board did not take a position as to whether it will recommend an amendment to the city code at this point is that would be consistent with its prior findings regarding the formal advisory opinion and indicated it would take that up at a later time. So in summary, the formal advisory opinion clarifies the previous one that was issued 10 years ago and determines that post-city employment is limited to very specific situations, and that definition of appearance was broader than that which could be supported by the plain language of the code.
For clarification, though, Part B does recommend that the city council consider amending the code as it relates to public employment, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And could you give an example of how that would work if they did amend it to require a case-by-case analysis? Would that be that an individual who's seeking employment with another public agency would have to seek the approval or guidance from the Board of Ethics?
My recommendation, it'll depend on what the code actually says, but my recommendation would be that they would seek guidance from the office as to whether it's appropriate for them to do it, not to accept the employment, but whether what they're going to do is appropriate and would not be prohibited or cause a problem with the city. That would be my recommendation, but of course, depending upon how the legislation comes out, they may have another method of wanting to deal with it.
So as a result of this, if we approve this as written, then it's referred to the City Council for consideration, or how does that work?
Only that portion of it, the portion dealing with public employment.
Okay. I move to adopt.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
A motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All in favor? The motion passes and the opinion is adopted. Thank you.
Madam Chair, if we could move to the request from City Attorney Kathy Hampton. Her request is found tab 4, the second portion. She's made a request for authorization to accept a seat on the Board of Directors of Ameritech Facility Services, LLC, for remuneration. She has provided a letter explaining that request, as well as the fact that the mayor has not indicated any objection to it, as well as her contention that there's no direct conflict of interest. Her role as city attorney would still take priority, but there would be no direct conflict should she be allowed to have this position. And so at this point, we are making a request of the board to approve her acceptance of the seat.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Hickson?
Is there any concern at all that she may have, as city attorney, have to make a decision that could be based on like a contract dispute or something that has to do with this board, because the company deals with rendering facility services?
We had that discussion there. Based on my understanding of what they do, that there's virtually no chance that's going to come up, but to the extent that there is that potential, then she is aware that she would have to recuse herself. But given the type of work that they do, there shouldn't be any interaction between the City of Atlanta and this particular group.
Thank you.
Further questions? May I have a motion?
She also asked me to extend her apologies for not being present, and I think I explained to you all her the city law department is being honored tonight by the Fulton County Daily Report as an outstanding government in-house division, and so that is where she is, and she would hope that you all would please excuse her not being present.
Mm-hmm. Is there a motion regarding this request from the city attorney?
I move adoption.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, and we have agreed with the request. Shall I go on to the ethics officer's report, or should we back up to financial disclosure?
Financial disclosure report on the subpoenas.
Thank you.
Can I report back on Ms. Henderson first, please?
Yes.
Okay. Is that okay? Okay. So we spoke with Ms. Henderson, and I believe she wants to also address the board. She indicated that she has no transportation in terms of the community service hours. So as far as that, what I was going to request is that we may need to bring the matter up before you in maybe 3 to 6 months in the event that she has not fulfilled half of the hours due to the fact that she's indicated that she has no transportation at this time.
I'm sorry, I didn't follow that entirely. So Ms. Henderson has no transportation, but what's the 3 to 6 months? Okay.
Okay. My apologies. Let me clarify that she will agree to the additional requirement by the board in terms of the community service hours. However, we are also requesting that because of hardship, due to the fact that she does not have transportation, does not have a vehicle at this time, that we can bring the matter back to the board in 3 to 6 months in case we need to extend the time to perform the community service hours. Sorry, I wasn't clear about that.
I understand. That makes more sense now.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Tsingoba.
Sorry.
Okay.
And she wanted to address the board. So she is willing to accept the requirement of the community service hours as ordered by the board pursuant to the agreement with addition that we are allowed to bring the matter up and if we need an extension of time to perform the hours due to hardship.
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Tsingoba.
Okay.
I understand. Questions from the other board members? Okay.
Okay.
We may as well go ahead. If Ms. Henderson is prepared to speak with us now, we may as well wrap this up before we move on to something else.
Thank you. Ms. Henderson, you may come up now.
Good evening, everyone. First and foremost, I would like to apologize to the great city of Atlanta, the board members, and all the others that were affected by my actions. You know, I'm sorry that I did that. You know, over 18 years of employment here, I've never been in trouble, had many letters of recommendation, and I walk into something that I had no control over, but I just wanted to apologize and let you all know that I never meant any harm intended for the city of Atlanta. But when I asked for help with the situation, there was no one there to help because everybody was involved in it. And I just want to apologize for my actions. And right now, I'm homeless. I have no car, no job. I've lost everything I worked for 18 years for this great city. Many citizens gave me letters. I was a great employee, never been in trouble once, never had any write-offs for being late or being absent. And on my first time getting in trouble, they fired me. Whereas I've seen in the city, they let people get away with a lot of stuff, but I'm not going to address that. I just want to apologize for my actions. Thank you.
Thank you for your apology, Ms. Henderson. And we will proceed as suggested by Ms. Tsingoba. So, thank you very much. Next item then will be the financial disclosure status of the subpoenas to appear.
Okay. Is there going to be a substitute motion to the Henderson, or is it?
It's sufficient.
Okay.
And any agreement could be amended at any time by presentation to the board and vote of the board. So.
Okay. Thank you. As far as the financial disclosure.
Ms. Tsingoba, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Can we excuse Ms. Henderson, or does she need to remain to talk with you all?
No, for now, we just need to talk to her later.
Oh, okay. Just wanted her to know if she can leave.
No, she can leave now. Okay. We'll just contact her. I apologize. Yeah. Okay. So she may be excused. Yes.
Thank you.
In terms of report under financial disclosure, we really do not have much to report in terms of the subpoenas to appear. We have not. The only board member I heard from was Malika Berry. We have heard from no other current board member. In terms of my contact with Ms. Berry, she indicated that she would pay the fine. She apologized for not responding to the subpoena. She asserted that she did not receive it. Unfortunately, I do not find that credible. Another thing I would note is that we have not received payment. I spoke with her on November 2nd, which was approximately 2 weeks ago, and the fine in her case assessed was $250. She promised to send the fine. I have emails where she promised to pay it. She has not done so. So as far as our position, she's still in non-compliance. And as far as the other current board members that were issued subpoenas, we have not heard from them. That's all I have. If you have any questions?
What are our next steps for those who have failed to respond to the subpoenas?
Well, technically, they're in non-compliance of a subpoena. Whether or not the matter needs to be referred to the city solicitor, we'd have to discuss that with Ms. Hickson.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Zengova.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is the ethics officer's report.
Yes, board members, I would direct you to tab number 5, and just by way of highlight, I think one of the biggest highlights is we have on here that 632 city employees have taken the ethics e-learning course, but as of yesterday we were up to over 900 employees who have taken the e-learning course. We are still in the early stages of rolling this out, but there seems to be a level of participation that we're very happy to report on. And we'll report to you in December when we meet during the retreat on where we are with the actual numbers. We have continued to provide our written and verbal advice in a very timely manner, as well as continuing to provide training, including a training that was done with members of City Council during their recent retreat. We have begun the process of the 2016 financial disclosure. At least the kickoff was held in the old City Council chambers. We had a good turnout for that. And we are working in terms of developing the actual list. During the retreat, we anticipate speaking with you about some, first of all, a preliminary report from the audit office regarding financial disclosures and some recommendations that they are making, as well as some recommendations that our office has regarding that process. But those are the highlights of the activities for the past month. In terms of the budget itself, spending is on target, and there are no real anomalies to report at this time.
Thank you very much, Ms. Hickson. Any questions for Ms. Hickson on either the activities or the budget? Okay. The next item would be public comments. There are no members of the public present. Therefore, I will move on to announcements. The next regular Board of Ethics meeting is in January. That would be Thursday, January 21 at 6 o'clock in City Council chambers. The Board will meet for their retreat on Saturday, December 5th at 9 a.m. at the Georgia Institute of Technology.
Can we publicly recognize Ms. Dawson for her title promotion that was received recently?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, Ms. Dawson. Anything further? May I have a motion to adjourn? Oh, I'm sorry.
And
so we have a motion to adjourn?
For adjournment? Well, I was just wanting tongue-in-cheek to say, and Mr. Santiago actually did it. He's now a married man.
So. Right.
Congratulations to him.
Congratulations to you, Carlos. I have a motion on the floor to adjourn. Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. The meeting is adjourned.
Eleven yeas, zero nays. The motion carries. This item is adopted. Ms. Adrian.
Thank you. I'd like to take the next three, which are on pages 23 and 24, 15-0-1506, 754, 760, and 768 Kirkwood Avenue, authorizing the Office of Planning to accept